It's Sunday, the 28th of February, 2016. Happy birthday to Josh McRoberts, Etuan Moore, and Tayshaun Prince. Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and LGCat90. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like LGCat90, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes, and you can be that sponsor. So thank you to LGCat, and of course to Moneyball, Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. If you are in Australia or New Zealand, please make sure you're joining. I'm not begging with you. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. You can win some money on there, and it's fun playing NBA, DFS. So get across to Moneyball and get involved with that. We've got a stack of stuff to talk about, so no more wasting time.
Let's get to it.
On Instagram, we're looking at Mason Plumlee, how many combined rebounds and assists that he would have, and the total of that was 11, so mover and shaker 21. Congratulations, that's your second win in the Instagram contest. And on Facebook, we were looking for Lance Stephenson combined points and assists, and the correct answer there was 15, and John Auburn gets it correct. And I'm sure I butchered your name, John, so I do apologize, but congratulations for getting the total of Lance Stephenson's points and assists correct. For Sunday's games, on Instagram, we're looking at Ish Smith of the Philadelphia 76ers, how many combined points and assists, and on Facebook, we're going with Dirk Nowitzki, points and rebounds. That's pretty straightforward. And if you're not on Instagram or the Facebook pages, and you've got accounts there, go and follow it. Instagram is redrock_bball. Facebook is facebook.com/redrockbasketball. And there's lots of chatter and stuff going up on both of those platforms. Now, monstrous line of the night. If you're watching the video, which you can always do on YouTube, you can see behind me what's going on. If you read the title of this podcast, it's not all that informative, but I've got absolutely no doubt that you understand what the monstrous line of the night, or who it was, for the third time in the last four nights. Steph Curry was ludicrous. 46 points, an NBA record tying 12 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. He went 14 of 24 from the field. He went 6 of 8 from the free throw line, which is a little bit disappointing for Steph. But he was... I don't have the words to say it anymore. He broke the season record for three-pointers in a season with 25 games left. That was his own record. He's broken that. He tied the NBA record for most threes in a game with 12. And that 12th three, I'm sure you would have seen it a million times by now, but it's just bizarre. It is ridiculous that he would attempt that shot. He would go down with 3 seconds left on the clock. When he stopped to pull up, he had 3 seconds left. He could have dribbled in inside the three-point line. All I needed was a two to win. He pulled up from basically half court and just nailed a three to get the victory. When he shot it, I was screaming, top of my lungs, a lot of expletives, like, what are you doing? What in the world is going on? With some other choice words mixed in there. And then it went down. It was potentially the most unbelievable thing I've seen anyone do. He was hitting shots from everywhere, but then to have the balls to attempt that shot, and then to just do it effortlessly. And I tweeted it out today, go and watch Enes Kanter. He is standing on the sideline, the ball hasn't gone in, and he knows it's going in. When it's in midair, he just goes, I know it's going in, and I can't do anything about it. And that's basically what you should be feeling when you're playing against Steph, because he goes up, no matter where he is on the court, you just think it's going in, because that's basically what's happening. This sort of run of form from him, he's hit 32 triples in the last three games. It's one in that category. His last four games, he's averaging 8.3 triples a game. In the last month, he is at 6.3 per game. His last four games, he's averaging 44 points a game, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, 8.3 triples, 1.5 steals, 0.8 blocks, 61-90 is his percentages in four games. This is something special. Whenever you get a chance to watch a Warriors game, watch it. You will not cease to be amazed. There's so much more weirdness that happened in that game as well, which we'll get to a little bit later. But Steph Curry is your monstrous line of the night yet again. The waiver wire line of the... Oh, actually, before I get to that, there's lots of comments about Oscar Robertson coming across about his comments about Steph and, you know, back in his day, and the coaches don't know what they're doing. These old players need to shut up, because it makes them look silly. It makes them look petty, bitter. The only time the big O should be mentioned with Steph Curry and the way he's playing is when someone's referencing how many orgasms his three-point shooting gave them. That's it. Forget about Oscar Robertson. Cedric Ceballos, he's chiming in. Shut up, mate. What are you talking about? You can't stop him. Their players now can't stop him. Cedric Ceballos, your team couldn't have stopped him. No one can stop what he's doing. It's as simple as that. The waiver wire line of the night was Ed Davis of the Portland Trailblazers. Davis played 25 minutes off the bench. He only had 9 points, but he gave us 9 boards. He had an assist, 3 steals, and 5 blocks. So a huge defensive performance from Davis. He's been sort of interesting lately. I think that's probably the best way to say it, but probably not a 12-team target. The last 2 weeks, he's giving you almost 2 blocks and a steal and 8 rebounds with 64% shooting. That can sort of be used, but he's more of a streaming sort of option. He'd need to play 26, 27 minutes to really, maybe even not, maybe 25, maybe 24 minutes to be a 12-team target. So despite looking at the last 2 weeks and going, yeah, he's ranked 96th, I'm not sure that I believe in that level of shot blocking and steals really continuing. But the field goal percentage is real. He's a 61% shooter this year, 60% last year. That's real. The 55% free throws are real as well. He's not a good free throw shooter. Yeah, short term, blocks, rebounds, maybe you add him. Steals, maybe. But again, I don't imagine this stuff is going to continue for very long. So just leave Ed Davis as a deeper league sort of player for now. Lost in all the Steph Curry ridicularity, we had another young gun of the night performance from Karl-Anthony Towns, who had 30 points. He had 15 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. And by now, we know how good Karl-Anthony Towns is. In the dynasty rankings that I put up on Basketball Monster, I had him ranked number 3. He is probably going to go in the top 5 next year. His season has been out of control, good, and it's getting better and better, to be honest. In the last month, he's a top 15 guy, 23-12, half a 3, 2 blocks. His blocks, you think, can go up as well. They can go up to 2.5. There is at 1.8 on the season. He can get that higher. He can get his assists up to 2 or 3 a game. He can do a lot of stuff. So I'm sure you already know that. I'm sure you already know how good Karl-Anthony Towns is, but just another big game from him it gets lost in all the hype of everything. Just had a tweet come in for someone watching live. Jay Wilsey, why not Eric Gordon, the waiver wire line of the night? I'll tell you why, Wilsey. Because he's owned in 73% of leagues, so he's not on many waiver wires, and that's why I didn't give it to him. He was obviously fantastic. He should have been owned a few days ago, and he's obviously still owned in plenty of leagues. 73% is too high for my waiver wire line of the night cutoff, and I imagine that most people, he's not going to be available on the waiver wire for you to go and pick up after this game. So that's the reason, Wilsey. He had a pretty good game, but not waiver wire line of the night. Didn't meet the qualifications or the criteria. The dart of the night, Harrison Barnes, is still owned in 73% of leagues as well. He had 6 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 1 block. I've been on the Harry Barnes train for a couple of weeks, and by train I mean don't own this guy. There's no point in it. He is outside the top 175 in the last 2 months. And we love this live interaction. Jay Wilsey's just responded to me. On ESPN, Eric Gordon's owned in 47% of leagues. What the hell's going on? If you're in ESPN, fine. He's the waiver wire line of the night. Go and add him. That makes no sense. In Yahoo, 73%. Anyway, Harry Barnes, he's ranked 175th over the last 2 months. It's not good enough for 12-team leagues. He just doesn't have a high ceiling. He doesn't have high production. He doesn't have anything. What does he give you that's good? At the moment, for the season, he's giving you 1.33s. That's okay. He's giving you 79% free throws. That's average. He's giving you 47.5% field goals. Again, that's average. But he's not good enough for standard leagues. He's not someone that I am holding. His role is not big enough on this team. He doesn't... Does it 10-team leagues? Forget about it. 12-team leagues? No. 14-team leagues is where it sits for me with Harrison Barnes. I just don't see it for him. I don't see it really improving too much this season. Anyway, that is it for the nightly awards. let's move in and have a look at the perfect DFS lineup for Saturday's games. Steph Curry at point guard, 59.6. That was straightforward. Reggie Jackson at 38.4. His salary is pretty nice, sitting under 7,000. So he's always a guy to look at. Eric Gordon, the aforementioned Eric Gordon, he put 40.6 up in his first game back. There was a couple of signs pointing to him having a decent game. No Anthony Davis was one of them. And the fact that they said that Gordon was going to play with no minutes restriction, and that was with Bryce DeJean Jones out as well. So straight back into a starter's role. No Tyreek, no DeJean Jones, no Davis. Someone had to score, and it was Eric Gordon. Wayne Ellington, 29.2. You put those Nets shooting guards as punt options, but you never know which one's going to go off, and today it was Ellington. KD had 59.9. PJ Tucker almost triple-doubled with 42.7. The Suns are a mess. Even though they had a victory today, we'll talk about them a little bit later. Ryan Anderson, he always feasts when Anthony Davis is out. 53.8 for him, and Ed Davis, 37.3 on his big defensive game. And at center, Pau Gasol was great. 67.2, he almost got the triple-double. Actually, he did get a triple-double, didn't he? Why am I blanking on that? Yes, he did. He had a massive triple-double, in fact, Pau. So he was close to the monstrous line of the night as well. That lineup would have totaled you 428.7 points, which is that's quite a lot, so I'm told. All right, we are going to take a quick break for a word from one of our sponsors, and then when we come back, we're going to be looking at these games in a little bit more detail. All right, we are back, and we're going to look at these games, as I just mentioned. The first one, the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. This was the early game. Joe Johnson has signed with the Heat, but he was not available for this game. Talked about him a bit yesterday. If you own him in 12-team leagues, you hold on to him. We'll see what happens. But there's a lot of people expecting his value to go up from where he was in Brooklyn. I really don't see how that's going to happen. He goes to a team where he's going to be playing with more talented players, and he's going to be most likely playing a smaller role. I don't see how his value goes up. But I'm still holding to see what happens. I also hope they don't start him, because that is just a horrific starting lineup. You know, defensively, Dragic is pretty good, but Wade and Joe Johnson on the wings, it's not good. And there's a lot of isolation shots coming from, I don't know, it doesn't fit well with me. We'll see. We'll see how they run him, but I don't think Joe Johnson's getting the 34 minutes a game that he had in Brooklyn. By all means, you hold him. And Justice Winslow, you hold him. We don't know how it's going to exactly play out in Miami in this rotation. But the guy who's most likely going to take a big hit is Gerald Green, and that's fine, because he's been just trash this season, so we don't need to worry too much about him. Hassan Whiteside recently, he's getting the big minutes. 33 minutes, 13 and 15, 1 steal and 8 blocks. Matt Smith had some great tweets today about the stats on Whiteside's blocking, how he'd had, I think, 63 more blocks than the nearest guy, which is DeAndre Jordan, in less games, and more combined than Andre Drummond and Anthony Davis. I think that was the stat. Something ridiculous. He is winning that blocks category on his own. He's putting up big numbers, and he's all of a sudden hitting his free throws now. New free throw technique. And I think he's hit 12 of his last 13 with the stats that I saw today. Really helping if you're not a full-on punt team. He's sort of turned that around. Not sure how long it lasts. It's a very small sample size, but it's going in the right direction. Also, I don't care that he comes off the bench. It doesn't matter. If he's playing 32 minutes off the bench, it doesn't really matter. It's an odd decision, but he's playing more minutes off the bench than what he was when he was a starter, so that works in our favor that way. Goran Dragic, 21-5-5 with an assist and with a steal and a three. He has really picked his game up post All-Star break without Chris Bosh. Everyone who was patient with him early on in the season, it has definitely turned around now. Dwayne Wade went 19-5-3, and Justice Winslow, just the 6 points, but another 7 boards, 4 assists and a block. 3 of 10 shooting's a little bit harmful, but still, he's got that defensive value that you can use in fantasy. Luol Deng, his 5th straight double-double, 11 and 12 with a steal. He might cop a marginal hit with Johnson arriving, but I don't think too much, because Deng's basically playing the 4 now, and I don't imagine that Johnson is going to play too much at that position. Josh McRoberts, he teased us with one game about a week ago. Nothing's gone from there. 12 teams, 14 teams, you don't think you need to deal with him. And Gerald Green had 0 points in 19 minutes. That's where Joe Johnson's coming in. He's taking those minutes and a couple away from Justice Winslow and the 27 minutes that Josh Richardson played. I really like Josh Richardson. You've heard me talk about him before. 11 points. He had 2 rebounds and assists, 2 steals and 2 blocks. He's going to lose a big chunk of minutes to Joe Johnson. No doubt. So his value is going to drop. So if you're in a deep dynasty league, he's been producing recently. I would be trying to, once Johnson arrives, acquire Richardson for nothing. And seeing if you can, you might have to hold him for 2 or 3 seasons and see what comes out of it. But I think that he is going to be a pretty decent rotational NBA player. So in deeper leagues, that's going to matter. For the Celtics, Jared Sullinger only played 25 minutes, but a tremendously full line. 12, 12 and 4, 2 steals, 3 blocks. He's really getting it done this season. And Jay Crowder had another bushel of steals. 5 steals for him. 14 points, 4 rebounds and 2 assists. Big, big night from Crowder. Isaiah Thomas, not the greatest performance. 4 of 17, 12, 3 and 4 with a 3 and a steal. The Heat is restrictive against point guards, and that showed here. The Celtics are restrictive against point guards too, but that didn't stop Goran Dragic, so it can go both ways, but there was always a bit of a concern with Isaiah Thomas here. Avery Bradley only had the 9 points. He's also dealing with an ankle issue that leaves him probable. We'll see how that pans out. And Amir Johnson, any hope of him getting 20 minutes again were dashed. 5 and 9. A steal and 2 blocks is still nice production, but the minutes are really restrictive. Marcus Smart, 15, 6, and 3. Evan Turner, 14, 6, and 9. So big minutes from those reserve wing players, and both of those should be owned in 12-team leagues as well. The next game, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the New Orleans Pelicans. We had Tayshaun Prince back to the bench. He played 9 minutes and 0 points. That's exactly what you expect out of him. And what I love here is this is such a great starting lineup and a great look at minutes if you're a Timberwolves fan and if you're a fantasy fan. Karl Anthony Towns, 35 minutes. Zach LaVine, 36 minutes, 25 and 5, 2 triples on 11 of 17 shooting. Gorgui Dieng, 38 minutes, 12, 3 and 2 with 3 steals and 2 blocks. Beautiful. Andy Wiggins, 24 and 4, a steal and a block in 37 minutes. Ricky Rubio, 36 minutes, 9, 4 and 10. Easy. Sam Mitchell, that's it. This is what you do every night. It's very easy. Kevin Martin, likely to be bought out. Andre Miller, already bought out. Nikola Pekovic, we're probably not going to see him again this season. Kevin Garnett, who knows if we're ever going to see him again. This is what you do. Run these guys 32 to 33 minutes a night. Give Shabazz Muhammad his 20. Give Tyus Jones the backup point guard minutes. Give Tayshaun Prince 9 minutes. I don't care if you give Tayshaun Prince 9 minutes. Give your other guys the minutes, and it's working out beautifully. All of those guys, LaVine, Dieng, have to be owned. Obviously, Towns, Wiggins, and Rubio are already owned, and they're turning into a very, very nice core with this team. Now, it helps that they played the Pelicans, whose defense isn't ideal, and they got a big victory here on the road, but that's what Mitchell should be doing, and let's hope he does. Tyus Jones is another one of those guys that I do like for Dynasty long-term. He had 7 points with 3 assists and 2 steals in his 13 minutes. On the Pelicans, Ryan Anderson, he always plays big when Davis is out. 31 and 14, 3 threes, 1 steal and 2 blocks. Great DFS value. You've heard me talk about his seasonal value, how he's up and down and a back-end sort of guy. But when no Davis is there, he'll put up big numbers. Now, Davis missed again. Everyone's cursing him. We know he hurt his foot in warm-ups. He's soft. He's useless. He's whatever insult you can throw at him. It's frustrating. I understand that. It's annoying that Davis misses time, and that's just the way that he's wired. I don't believe it makes him any less of a franchise player, as some people would say. That yes, he's missed a lot of games, and he's missed portions of other games. I understand that, but it's not. He's never had a real serious, big, long-term injury, and that makes you feel more confident about things moving forward, that doesn't have any chronic issues. It's just little annoying things that happen to him regularly, and maybe that'll keep happening. But if he misses a game here and there, it's not the end of the world, rather than him missing 6 months or missing 2 months or something like that. So at least we've got that going for us. Eric Gordon was back, 34 minutes, 31 points, 4 triples, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals. He's not going to shoot 9 of 17 very often, but he's still going to be very productive with Tyreek gone, so make sure that he is snapped up if you are in ESPN leagues, as Wilsey pointed out to us before. Jrue Holiday off the bench, 36 minutes, 20 points, 8 assists, 2 steals, and a block, continuing his assault on people who think he's no good, because he's putting up some great numbers. And my boy Norris Cole dropped back down to earth, 7 points in 29 minutes, did have 7 assists and 5 rebounds with a 3 and a steal, but he's really the worst player on your roster in a 12-team league. Kendrick Perkins getting 20 minutes is a disgrace. He had 2 points, and Alexei Ajinsa only played 13. Ajinsa needs to play more than Kendrick Perkins. I don't care what you think of Ajinsa. If you don't think that he's better than Kendrick Perkins, then I don't want to hear it, because Perkins is disgusting. Dante Cunningham, 8 points with 2 rebounds and 2 assists in his 33 minutes. He does nothing. Alonzo G gave you 7 boards, but not much else from him. And Tony Douglas and Luke Babbitt rounded out the rotation, and that's enough talk about Luke Babbitt. The Portland Trailblazers and the Chicago Bulls. Ed Davis talked about his big game, and Mason Plumlee getting it together again, because he's getting the extra run. 28 minutes for Plumlee here, 16 and 9, 1 steal and 1 block, 10 of 13 from the free throw line, which is really important from a guy who was a real free throw liability last season and at times this year. you know, putting up some big, big numbers. He has to be owned in more leagues than he is, which is 58%. Dame Lillard had 31 points on 12 of 26 shooting, hit all 7 free throws and went 4 rebounds and 4 assists. Pretty solid night from him. CJ McCollum's night was less than solid, 1 of 12 shooting, 6 points, did add 7 assists, so still helped out a little bit, but not his greatest performance. El-Farouq Aminu, only the 21 minutes, he is so up and down that it's extremely frustrating. You probably should still be owning him, but don't expect big things. And Mo Harkless, that little run of him being relevant appears done. His minutes are going down every single game. He only played 7 here, had 2 points and 2 rebounds. Well, Myers Leonard, who was sick and had nausea and vomiting before the game, played 21. That's an odd decision. 8-8 with 2-3. So Leonard gets more minutes in a game where he's feeling sick as opposed to the last, I don't know, month when he hasn't been able to get that sort of run when he's been healthy. Odd. Alan Crabb played 35 minutes, had 11, 3, and 2 with a 3. He's not a 12-team league guy to me. The Bulls, Pau Gasol, 22, 16, and 14. 1 steal, 3 blocks. There was still no Derrick Rose. Pau just going crazy, putting up huge, huge numbers. And Bobby Portis had probably his best game. 10 points, but 16 boards and a block in 28 minutes. While Taj Gibson was limited to 20 minutes because of foul trouble. So that explains why Portis was able to get so many rebounds and play so many more minutes than usual. And that makes me look at it and go, okay, that's cool. It was nice, but is it going to happen again? And that's probably where I say, no, I might add him in a 12-team league, but by no means am I going to be married to him or you know, think, oh, I'm dropping great player to go and get him, because I just don't imagine it continuing in that sort of vein. Doug McDermott's scoring continued, 18 points in 32 minutes. He does nothing else, so he's a great option for that category, and that's it. And Mike Dunleavy got back to 28 minutes, and he went 13-5-5. He is a 14-team league guy for the time being, and let's just really watch the 12-team league stuff for him. Etwan Moore, 38 minutes, 19 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Not too much, but I still think that he is a 12-team league guy, at least until Derrick Rose comes back. And even with Rose back in the lineup, we might see he'll still play the 2 until Butler comes back. So he's been really surprising, I think is the best way of putting it. Tony Snell, this is a great example of why I don't like Tony Snell. 27 minutes for 0 points, 4 rebounds and 4 assists. I just don't buy into Tony Snell. He will have a good game, you know, relatively occasionally. That's terrible phrasing, but I think you know what I mean. And then it just goes into nothing, in big stretches of nothing as well. And that's just who he is, unfortunately, at this point. The next game, the San Antonio Spurs and the Houston Rockets. Kawhi was brilliant. 27-8, 3 triples, a steal and a block, 8 of 13 shooting. Can't do much better than that. And LaMarcus Aldridge with a big 26-16 game with a block as well. So big games from the big stars on San Antonio. Tim Duncan, a devil's line, 6-6-6 in 25 minutes with a block. So nice and solid numbers, but yeah, own him in 12-team leagues, but don't be upset if you don't. Tony Parker, really kicking it up at the moment. 15 points, 4 assists, 2 triples in 33 minutes. The minutes are ramping up for him as well. And we're seeing Kawhi and LaMarcus Aldridge playing a little bit extra as well. Maybe as Pop starts to sort of work them into, I don't know, playoff thought process or playoff form. I'm not really sure what's happening, but there's a distinct trend of these players playing more minutes recently. Danny Green got 31. He went 8-6-3, added a block and a couple of threes. That's a mediocre night, but it's not terrible. And Kyle Anderson continues to get run. So he's playing over Jonathan Simmons, over Rasul Butler. He played 23 minutes, went 11-3-3, had a steal and a 3. Producing as well, really being a key member of this bench now. He can be looked at in your 16-team leagues and maybe even 14-team leagues, but he's got a consistent role now. Ray McCallum is likely to be waived when Andre Miller signs, and the other guy, Kevin Martin from the Wolves, who's going to be bought out, is likely going to be signing with the Spurs as well. I get so pissed at buyouts. They don't feel, you know what they feel like? They feel like collusion in fantasy leagues. Like, why would Andre Miller sign a 1-year deal in Minnesota to be bought out halfway through to go sign with another team? If that's the case, just sign with San Antonio to begin with. I don't think there should be no buyouts allowed on 1-year deals. It doesn't make any sense to me. Buyouts, they rub me the wrong way in general. I'm just not a fan of buying out. I don't know, it just feels not right to me. There's just something about it, like, I can't get my head around it, I can't articulate it, but buyouts and the whole idea behind them, it rubs me the wrong way. Anyway, Kevin Martin or Andre Miller going to San Antonio doesn't move the fantasy needle. For the Rockets, Trevor Ariza, only 8 points, but he had 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and 5 assists, continues to be a very underrated fantasy player. Jim Harden, yeah, probably that's as good as you can expect going up against Kawhi. 27 points with 4 boards and 2 assists. And Corey Brewer chimed in with 15 off the bench also. Dwight Howard, 11 and 14, a steal and a block. Not his usual stellar field goal percentage, only going 4 of 11 from the field. And Josh Smith, not his usual stellar field goal percentage as well. 1 of 8, actually, probably, yes, that is his usual field goal percentage. He had 2 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists. And the power forward position of this team is horrendous. Terrence Jones is garbage. 3 minutes for him, 2 points. Clint Capela was out, and Montrezl Harrell played 1 minute at power forward. But we saw Donatas Motiejunas back. I really like Motiejunas. 9 minutes for him, 2 points, 1 rebound, and 1 assist. I really hope that he can get things going and start to play, because he's better than Smith, he's better than Jones, he's better than Harrell. And a lot of people will look at Terrence Jones and go, why did you have him ranked so high at the start of the season? And the reason is, and I articulated this across the podcast many times, hate Terrence Jones as a player. I think he's a terrible player, but when he plays, fantasy wise, his stats occur. He gets stats on a per minute basis, and when he plays 30 minutes, the numbers look good. And I thought, who's going to challenge him? Josh Smith wasn't there, Montrezl Harrell's not going to challenge him, Sam Decker's injured, and Donatas Motiejunas is injured. Jones is going to have to play the bulk of the minutes at power forward, even though he's the worst option there. And now when everyone coming back healthy, we're seeing that he is the worst option and he's not a good player. And If I would be hoping that my team doesn't sign him next season, because he's just, I can't get behind him as a good player. Cannot at all. The Detroit Pistons and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Pistons, Reggie Jackson, 22, 2-8, 2 steals and a 3, 6 of 10 shooting, 9 of 10 from the line. Big night from him. Good to see those assist numbers back up. And Andre Drummond had a stacked line as well. 15 and 17, 4 steals and 2 blocks. 1 of 6 from the free throw line. You do not care a single bit about that. The 7 of 17 from the field, you probably have an issue with. But otherwise, really great counting stats. Marcus Morris turning it up at the moment as well. 41 minutes, still too many for Morris. But I understand it with Stan Johnson out and Anthony Tolliver out. 20 and 8 with 3 triples and 2 assists. He's probably worth a look at in 12-team leagues if he's not owned at the moment, just for this short term while Johnson and Tolliver are out. But I imagine that he goes back to 32 when those guys come back in, and then he won't be worthwhile. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope played 35 and had 12 and 3, added 2 steals and 2 threes, and that's what he is going to be. A real nice threes and steal sort of guy who can score and hopefully increase his ability to handle the ball. I'm just not really sure that's going to happen. Toby Harris, 15, 4 and 4. Not good shooting, but I'm a big Toby Harris fan. Added a steal and 2 threes. And we saw Reggie Bullock getting some run. This is the second game in a row where he's played decently. 8 points in 18 minutes, 4 rebounds, 2 threes, and 2 steals. Coming onto the radar for your 20-team leagues. The Bucks, Chris Middleton, 26, 7, and 2. 2 threes, a steal, and a block. Great performance from him. And Giannis Antetokounmpo only had the 8 points because he shot 3 of 11, but added 12 boards and 7 assists. So some nice stats in those other categories. Jabari Parker's minutes are still there. The production wasn't awesome, but 13, 5, and 3 is not horrible. What about the bench guys? Greg Monroe played 27 off the bench. He had 10 and 7 with a steal and a block. And this is what worries me about him coming off the bench, is that some nights Kidd will just go, all right, Miles Plumlee, you stay out there longer and we'll take minutes off Monroe. And same thing with Michael Carter-Williams here. All right, OJ Mayo, you started, you played 25 minutes, and Carter-Williams, you played 26. And that's what's going to happen sometimes. Still owning Carter-Williams, still owning Monroe, obviously. Carter-Williams went 8, 4, and 3 and chimed in with 3 blocks. And OJ Mayo, who started, went 9-2-2 with 3 triples. He's a 14-team league guy, I reckon, for me. Mayo, he hasn't performed like it, but there's this possibility that he's going to play decent minutes and produce. I like him in that sort of depth. Miles Plumlee doing his best John Henson impression, 2 blocks in 21 minutes, and will continue to do stuff similar to that until Henson returns. Steve Novak hurt his knee. He left the court 11 minutes, 4 points. He's not a fantasy guy anyway, but let's just hope that everything's okay with Steve Novak. Apparently one of the best guys in the league. The Warriors and the Thunder, just ridiculous. The Warriors get this victory. Draymond Green with the most ludicrous stat line of the season. He had 14 rebounds. He had 14 assists. He had 6 steals. He had 4 blocks. And you go, well, maybe he almost had 5x5, one block away. He had 2 points. 2 points. He missed all 8 of his shots. He went 2 of 5 from the free throw line. That's brutally bad, yet awesome in the other areas. What a weird stat line. Klay Thompson had 32. He had 2 steals, a block, and 2 threes, including a key steal at the end of regulation to allow Andre Iguodala to get those game-tying free throws. Iggy himself went 12 and 6 with 2 steals in 34 minutes. Big run from him. Andrew Bogut, only 17 minutes. And that was always the concern with Bogut. 4 points and 1 block. and not much else. The bench just doesn't... They get it done when they need to on the court, but for fantasy, they don't provide much. Sean Livingston, 7-3-2. He's a real 16-18 team league sort of guy. KD on the other side was great. 37-12-5, two blocks, one steal, and seven triples. Any other night, that's easily the monstrous line of the night. Not when Steph's dropping 46 and with 12 triples, though. And Serge Ibaka, 20 boards. He had 15 rebounds, a block, and a steal. Probably his best performance of the season, I would say. Russ Westbrook wasn't to be denied. 26-7-13 with two steals. Not good shooting. 10 of 29. That's a big, big hole in your field goal percentage, but otherwise, pretty nice stuff. And Andre Robertson got 37 minutes. 10-5. Some nice offensive plays from him in overtime in the fourth quarter. Two triples, an assist, and a steal. He's got to be able to do more of that offensive stuff to justify having him on the court. And he did it tonight, and that's great. Let's see if it blossoms into anything else. I'd be a little bit hesitant of thinking that. Deion Waiters played 31 minutes and had 7 points. He's just bad. And Steve Adams went 10-9 in his 28. Well, Enes Kanter, 11-5 on 18 minutes. Randy Foy, 6 minutes. Cameron Payne, out of the rotation. Boo. I hate it. I hate it so much. I don't understand Randy Foy. He's just not good. He's not good, but they should be developing Payne while he's actually providing more than Foy anyway. So it's a win-win. Instead, the Thunder are going with a lose-lose situation. Let's put the worst player out there and not develop our young players. It's not a catch-22. It's not a 50-50 call. It's worst player, worst for the future. Cool. Let's make that decision. Doesn't make sense to me. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Phoenix Suns. That's a terrible loss from Memphis to lose to the Suns. Brandon Wright hurt his knee again. Yuck. 6-4 for him with 3 steals on 3-of-3 shooting. We need to find out the severity of it, but he's probably the worst player on your roster, and that's, you know, do you move on and get someone else? I think that you have to consider it. He wasn't burning down the house anyway. He was, you know, a lot of his value is inflated by low turnover value. I don't think there's much point in holding on to him. He was a guy that you consider dropping anyway, even if he didn't have another knee injury. Matt Barnes, 16-6, 3 triples, 1 assist and 1 steal. He's gone from great game to terrible game to pretty good game. I think he should be owned in way more than 43% of leagues. Mike Conley went 19 points with 8 assists, and Mario Chalmers had 15 with 3 steals in his 21 minutes. So he got some extra run here too. Zach Randolph played 28 and went 19-4, and Lance Stephenson another 27 minutes. So he's definitely a part of this rotation. Tony Allen is going to complicate things, though. It's going to sound ridiculous saying it, but is adding Lance in a 14-team league? I think you have to do it. Let's see what happens. I'm not doing it in a 12-team league just yet. Maybe if you've got some balls and you want to take a flyer on it, sure. But in a 14-team league, I'm making the move. Vince Carter couldn't get as hot as he's been recently. 5 points in 23 minutes, but the minutes are still there for him. Now, someone's going to lose minutes. It's going to be PJ Hairston. Is it going to be Vince Carter? Is it going to be Lance Stephenson when Tony Allen comes back? And they don't have to lose that many minutes because there's those three guys who all are in a spot where they can lose some playing time. Allen comes back and plays 25 minutes. Let's say on average 8 minutes off each of those guys. And Hairston probably loses 14 or 15. He played 24 here today. Does he go back down to 10 or 11? I think that's more likely. Now, after his big blow up against the Lakers yesterday, PJ Hairston had 4 points in 24 minutes. So we don't get overly excited about massive performances against the Lakers. On the Suns, Chris Humphries did not play because they're waiving him. Another buyout. I don't like buyouts. So Chris Humphries out of the starting. Why get a guy and trade for him and then make the batshit baffling decision, we're going to start him, which made no sense in the first place, and then 6 games in, I'll see you later, we're done with you. Now, Chris Humphries might have asked for that. Apparently, he's going to sign with Atlanta, but I don't know. It's weird. So the Suns went with the big starting lineup. They started Alex Len next to Tyson Chandler. Shockingly enough, when you give Alex Len big minutes, he plays well and he performs. I know it's an amazing thing to happen. I can see it from here. I'm a long way from Phoenix. Just play him. 22-16 for Len. A steal, 2 blocks. Should be owned. Probably should have been owned anyway. It was a little bit annoying seeing him play behind Tyson Chandler, but this Chris Humphries thing came out of the blue, and if they're going to continue to start them together, he has to be owned. Mirza Tolivic had another 18 points with 4 triples and 7 rebounds. He's a guy you want to look at owning as well. And PJ Tucker with 17, 11, and 7 with a block and a 3. That's a great line. Hasn't been anywhere near that sort of production recently, though, so I'm not really sure that I'd say that he's a must-own player, but he's definitely someone to consider. Archie Goodwin, 24 bench minutes, 12 points. No, I don't think he's a 12-team league guy anymore. John Lua certainly isn't. Earl Watson does not like him, and that's fine because I don't think there's much to Lua. 8 points in 11 minutes. And Devin Booker got his minutes back, played 38, but wasn't good in them. 6 of 16 for 15 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. He's really the back-end guy in a 12-team league. Not a must-own, but not a must-drop or anything like that. And Ron Price played 23 minutes as the starting point guard, 12 points with 3 assists and 3 threes. I don't think that he's really a 12-team league sort of player. He's more of a 16-team league guy because it's Ronnie Price. The last game of the night, the Brooklyn Nets and the Utah Jazz. Massive win for Brooklyn. Huge upset on the road. They're playing a lot better lately, actually. Thad Young, you know, keying a lot of that. 21-8 with 3 steals. Brook Lopez went 19-6 with a steal and a block. And Wayne Ellington, talked about him before. He got hot. He played 36 minutes, 16-6, 3 triples and 2 steals. It's going to be between him, Markel Brown and Bojan Bogdanovic as to who plays well. But it's going to change often. And that's why it's really hard to own any of them, Ellington, Bogdanovic or Brown. Because I don't think they're going to have consistent 12-team league value. Don Sloan went 10-2-6. Shane Larkin had 21 minutes and had 5 assists, but we leave him for the deeper formats. And that's really about it on the Nets. Wayne Ellington got hot. That's the story of the game. On the Jazz, Rudy Gobert bounced back after a couple of bad performances. 12-19, a steal and 6 blocks, while Gordie Hayward went 27-3-6 with 3 triples and 3 steals. So big nights from both of those guys. Derek Favors had a nice double-double, 13-11 with a couple of blocks, and Rod Hood went 15-3-4. So big games from their big players. Shelvin Mack, let's talk about him. 25 minutes, 6 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. He's been bad. And it's not a massive surprise that he's been bad, because he's not a good player. He was a third-string point guard in Atlanta, barely played this season, came across to Utah. Yes, Trey Burke's not good. Yes, Hal Neto's not good. And Mack is probably better than both those guys. But he's not good. They've got a plethora of ball handlers. And this is what I said on the Trade Deadline podcast. You can add Mack. Maybe he gets to 30 minutes. Maybe he plays mid-20s, which is sort of where I expected him to go. But to think that he's going to be great all of a sudden, it's not happening. Alec Burks comes back. We're going to have Burks. We're going to have Hood. We're going to have Haywood that all handle the ball. Throwing Joe Ingles, throwing Trey Burke. There's just too many ball handlers. Yeah, Mack's not going to have the ball in his hands. So when you saw him get 30 minutes, it's the right move to make an ad, definitely. Because, hey, whoa, look what happened here. 30 minutes for Shelvin Mack. Let's see where this goes. But the odds are always that he's just not going to do anything with it because he's not good, and that's where things tend to head. If you're not good, you're just not going to be able to produce most of the time. And that's what's happening with Shelvin Mack at the moment. If there's someone else out there that you can go and add, he's by no means a must-hold because, as I said, the role for him is just not... It's not the same starting point guard role as it is on other teams. And that's where we currently sit with Shelvin Mack. All right, I'm going to take a quick break and then we're going to be back to preview DFS for Sunday's games. Seven games and on Sunday. There are a couple of early ones. So as always, when we're talking about these early slates, make sure you're having a look to see which of the games actually are in the contest that you're participating in. You don't want to have guys and think, yeah, my lineup's going to look great with these guys in, and then those games don't actually count. The Cleveland Cavs and the Washington Wizards is the first game up. The Cavaliers are favored by 6. The total is 211.5 points. JJ Hickson is questionable. His basketball ability is questionable. He was recently signed by the Wizards. He's not going to have an impact either way. And Gary Neal is questionable as well from the Wizards. He's missed the last few games with that thigh issue. Point guards. Kyrie Irving was really bad in the last game against the Raptors. His salary has come down significantly. He is priced at $7,000. I almost think that in a tournament, you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't consider Kyrie at $7,000. That's not an expensive salary. It's dropped a lot. Yes, he put up 12 in the last game. Yes, he's had a five-point game in another one with that bed bug situation. But at $7,000, I would probably don't want to trust him in cash, but at $7,000, I think he's a fine guy to have a look at. On the other side, John Wall, we've seen what point guards have done to Kyrie Irving. John Wall's at 9,800. Is there 50 points in John Wall? He dropped 49 in the last one. I would say that your 45 points is a real starting point for him. So he's definitely into consideration. Matthew Dellavedova, Ramon Sessions, not much interest in either of those guys. With the shooting guard position, Brad Beal, this is the first of a back-to-back for the Wizards, so there's a chance, and I've got him projected at about 27 minutes at the moment. That's what they've done so far, is drop him to high 20s in minutes in back-to-backs. So that puts him out of calculations. Not much that I really love here. Iman Shumpert at 3,500, no thanks. J.R. Smith at 48, tournaments only. There's a chance he goes for 30, there's a chance he goes for 10. And that's almost the definition of a tournament player. A guy like Gary Neal and Garrett Temple, Allen Anderson, none of these guys are really enough to move the needle for me. Although, maybe if Neal doesn't play Anderson in a tournament, you might see him hit five threes and get hot. It's a big stretch, though. At small forward, LeBron is sub 10,000. He is priced at 9,800. I think this is a prime opportunity to use LeBron at 9,800 and get 45 points out of him, get 50 points out of him. Don't feel like it's too much of a stretch to think that. Now, his production has been down, only a 38 average across his last three, and you want him to get a lot more than that, but I think that that's okay at this salary. Otto Porter's at 5,000, has barely been able to reach that sort of value in recent times, so he did it in the last game, but not when you're matching up against LeBron. I would rather go in a much different direction. At power forward, Kevin Love is down to 7,300. Definitely fine with using him. He dropped 40 in the last game. He's averaging over 35 in his last five. That is not a restrictive salary for Kevin Love. 5,200 for Markieff Morris. I don't mind it. Definitely hasn't lived up to that sort of salary in Washington. And against the Cavs in their front court, it's not a good spot to use him. Probably leave him alone. Tristan Thompson, not getting it done either. He's at 4,900. The minutes have been reducing. Jared Dudley's at 4,800. Would I consider Jared Dudley? No, not in this matchup. And again, I'm just always worried about the game when Markieff Morris gets the big minutes and Dudley plays 18. And then it's all over. Nene, the same situation, 4,300. No reliability for these guys. At center, Marcin Gortat, 6,900. That's not expensive, but the Cavs have been quite restrictive against big men. He's only averaging less than 30 in his last three games anyway, so I'll probably leave him alone. And Tim Mozgov, there's no chance I'm rostering him. Charlotte Hornets and Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks are favored by 4. The total is 202 points in this one. Spencer Hawes has already been ruled out if you were considering using him, which I hope that you weren't. Point guards. Kemba is at 8,400. He's 40 points feels like a great spot for him. This is a nice matchup. Definitely fine with using him at 8,400. I don't know if he's the best play on the board, but this is a really good spot for him. Jeff Teague, on the other hand, 6,400. I think he's in a great spot as well. He dropped 39 in the last game against the Bulls. The Hornets are a pretty easy team in terms of point guard ease, so he'd be another guy to look at. There's always a bit of a risk associated with him, but I'm fine with using him. 5,200 for Dennis Schroeder, tournaments and tournaments only. Definitely no cash game reliability for Schroeder because it takes a few things to go right for him to get enough minutes to be productive. At shooting guard, you've got a couple of punt options, Courtney Lee and Kyle Korver, 3,800 for Korver, 3,700 for Lee. You look at him in tournament, maybe they give you mid to high 20s in points if things get going, but otherwise I'm not using them. Nick Batum is 6,500, his fantasy production has been down a little bit lately, only averaging 26 points across his last five. Not a bad matchup. I'm probably not going to have the balls to say, yeah, I'm going to use him, but the salary's creeping down. Jeremy Lin, no. Jeremy Lamb, no. And let's move on to the small forwards. Kent Bazemore put up a big game in the last one. He's at 4,600. Really nice ease matchup in this game. But do you trust Bazemore, who's been just abjectly brutal until the last game? Maybe I look in the tournament and go, hey, does he get hot and do it again? But my belief in Kent Bazemore is not all that high. Thibaut is the other small forward on the list here, and he's not going to be used, even though he is a minimum salary player. Paul Millsap at 7,900, love that. That's under 8,000. He's averaging 40 points across his last three games. He dropped 45 in the last one. Yep, I think he's fine to go out with their news. Cody Zeller getting more minutes than Al Jefferson regularly, but not producing fantasy-wise. 4,600, probably want to leave him out of it. 6,000 for Marvin Williams, love it. He has just been on a ridiculously unexplainable streak at $6,000. Can you get 30 points out of him? At the moment, the answer has to be yes, which is just such a weird statement to say in 2016. But that is exactly what's happening. And at center, Al Horford has been great. He's at 7,800. He's averaging 48 points across his last three games. Ease-wise, it's beautiful. 7,800 has to come into consideration. Al Jefferson, 5,400, not at that price. The Portland Trailblazers and the Indiana Pacers. We've got the Pacers favored by 4.5, and the total here is 211 points. CJ Miles is out, and Rodney Stuckey will be playing, but he is dealing with a minutes restriction, a 15 minutes restriction. So that's going to limit his playing time. Dame Lillard is at 9,400. It feels a bit high. You can get John Wall for $400 more going up against Kyrie Irving. And as good as Lillard's been, his last three games is only giving you 40 points on average. He dropped 37 today, and that's with 31 points. Yes, he's had a 74 game in there, which is massive. And his lowest score has been just 38. But I think I would prefer Wall. It is a good matchup. The Pacers have been allowing point guard to put up big numbers. But I'm a little bit cautious of it. George Hill's at 5,800. His recent form until the last game had been poor, so I don't want to chase his production. At shooting guard, CJ McCollum at 7,500. Not many good high-priced shooting guards on the board. He's probably the best of them. He'd want to bounce back after a stinker today. 7,500, there's a chance. You know, 35 points is what you're looking for, and I think he's a pretty good chance of getting that. Alan Crabb at 3,900, no thanks. Monte Ellis at 6,100, definitely no thanks. And Gerald Henderson at 4,000, maybe thanks, but probably not. Small forwards, Paul George. What do we look at with him now? He had a decent game today, more than decent. He's priced at 9,000. He's averaging 49 across the last three, 44 across his last five. He feels like a really solid guy to look at 9,000 at that price point. Now, you've got LeBron at 9,800 as well. George has been outperforming LeBron. Who do you take, LeBron or Paul George? I would probably lean a little bit towards LeBron, but if you went with George and saved that $800, fine. Al-Farouq Aminu, no thanks. Mo Harkless, not happening with him at the moment either. With the power forwards, Miles Turner is always in play. He's at 5,600. I think you've got to consider using him. Anything less than 6,000 for Miles Turner is pretty decent value. He's averaging 33.5 points across his last five. Ed Davis at 4,100 had a massive game today, but even prior to that, he's averaging 22 points across his last five. In his limited minutes, was able to put up big numbers. He's not bad looking at in a tournament, not a great cash game option, but he's been giving you solid 20-point nights most nights recently. With the centers, Jan Mahinmi is still priced at 5,000, and he's still a great chance to give you 25 points every night. He had 25.8 today. He had 28-point average across his last five. His lowest score in his last five has been 18, which is not high, but it's not too bad at 5,000, and I feel like you're going to do better than that most nights anyway. Mason Plumlee at 5,300, he's also in a really nice hot streak of form. 32 points today, 27 average across his last five. He is someone that you have to consider pretty wholeheartedly too. Jordan Hill, Myers Leonard, those guys don't have much fantasy appeal. The Philadelphia 76ers and the Orlando Magic is the next one. The Magic are favored by 10 points. The total is 211 points. The last time that the Magic played against the Philadelphia 76ers, the Magic won by 9 points, and Skiles didn't limit his starters, which is always good to see because we've seen in the past in the blowouts, which the last two losses for the Magic have been, the starters have lost 4 or 5 minutes. But the last time they won a game, the Magic against the Sixers, they all got 35 to 36 minutes. So let's assume that's going to happen again. Now, by starters, I mean starters who aren't named Alfred Payton. Payton's come down to 5,200. He did have 25 points in the last one, but I'm too hesitant to use him. I don't see the upside with Skiles pulling the strings. Brandon Jennings, no thanks. CJ Watson, not at all either, but they're just going to be there just to piss us off in terms of Payton's value. With Ish Smith at 6,400, he's been really limited with his playing time. He did drop 32 in the last game, so that's solid, but only a 24 average across his last five. I reckon you can do better at point guard than Ish Smith at the present time. With the shooting guards, Victor Oladipo and Evan Fournier. Fournier's at 5,400. Really limited in the last game. Foul trouble. I reckon that drops his ownership percentage quite a bit. Even in the last three games, with that stinker in there, he's averaging 26 points a game, which is almost at 5x value. Definitely fine with using him against the Sixers. Vic Oladipo at 6,800. That salary is just getting a bit high. Yes, his production has been close to it, so I'm okay with using it, but it's just creeping up there. 7,000 is going to turn me off, I reckon. For the small forwards, Bob Cove had a massive game in the last one out. He's at 5,000. Definitely a great tournament option. We know he can go, he had 36 in the last one, and he can go bigger. He can get much bigger production from him at 5,000, but he can also go lower, much lower as well. So makes him a restricted tournament sort of player. Mario Hezonja, who played decently in the last game with Fournier's foul trouble, at 3,600, you might look at him in a tournament, but that's probably about it. Power forwards, Aaron Gordon, 6,300, one of the better plays of the day, averaging 33 across his last three, 32 across his last five. He is a consistent 30 to 33 point guy most nights, so lock him in. Nerlens Noel, 6,500, I'd rather spend 200 less and take Aaron Gordon. Now, Noel had an issue with his leg in the last game. He is going to play, but that's never a good sign, so let's obviously wait and see there, but I don't think he's a guy that I'm going to be picking anyway. Jeremy Grant, he's at 4,600. It's too expensive for him unless Noel or Okafor are out. And Ersan Ilyasova has really been reduced recently in Orlando, so I don't think we need to worry too much about him. With the centers, Nick Vucevic is at 8,200. Really nice spot here for him to go a revenge game and to go big. Fine with using him. 38 average across his last five. This has definitely got 40 points written all over it for Vucevic. And Jahlil Okafor is at 6,300. Not all that convinced with him. A big game in the last one, sure, but his recent form hasn't led me to believe that it's going to be easily replicable. The Toronto Raptors and the Detroit Pistons is the next game up on the board. DeMar DeRozan is the injury query we need to look at here. He is ill, and that affected his shot in the last game, and it's affecting his availability for this one. So we need to see whether he is going to play. Reggie Jackson's priced at 6,700. He's been exceeding that value most games for the last five. The Lowry matchup is not ideal, and that's probably the only thing where I go, yeah, I don't think I want to use him because he's playing against the Raptors. But still, the salary is nice, and his production's been great. Kyle Lowry, on the other hand, 9,000, just smashing it recently. 68 in the last game, 47 average across his last five, 51 across his last three. You feel like you can use him and feel pretty confident about it. Corey Joseph at 4,200, probably not. And Steve Blake, no, not really. Shooting guards, DeRozan, he's ill. Don't want to be really playing him at 7,700. The salary has come down, and that's because his production's dropped a bit as well, but I don't want to use him. 5,200 for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is an okay salary, but he's found it hard to get close to the 5x mark on that sort of number recently. And Terrence Ross, at minimum salary, even when he has a big night like the last one, he only put up 19 points. And at 3,900, that's basically 5x there. So not much upside for me with him. Small forwards, Marcus Morris is at 5,400, been exceeding that recently, so I'm fine with using him. His average over his last three has been 28.6. He had that exact score today. He's at 5,400. He's fine to deploy. 5,900 for Toby Harris. 30 points is where it's at with him, and I think this is another good spot for him to get it. He is fine to use as well. With the power forwards, Luis Scola, we're not touching. Patrick Patterson at 3,500, minimum salary. He gets minutes. He does nothing with him. Tournament, maybe, but seriously, matchup does not look good for him either. I don't think he's a great option to use. At the center position, 8,500 for Andre Drummond. It feels a bit expensive, but I think that there is an opportunity here for him to have a really big game against Jonas Valanciunas. Valanciunas at 6,400, that's not a matchup that I want to be using him in. Only averaging 28 across his last five, which is not too bad, but you're not loving him against Drummond. Drummond, on the other hand, I think that's a pretty decent spot to use him. Minnesota and Dallas, the Mavericks are favored by 6.5. The total here is 214. Kevin Martin, it's unlikely he plays with the buyout negotiations happening, so he likely won't be in the rotation. Darren Williams is at 5,700. He's been really quiet lately. I would throw him into a tournament because I think against Minnesota, he's got an opportunity for 30-plus fantasy points. And even Ray Felton, who's been getting minutes alongside Williams, he's averaging 26 across his last five, and at 4,900, that's spot on. In his last three, he's ramped it up. He's averaging 28 points at 4,900. That's great. He's getting minutes in preference to JJ Barea and Devin Harris. He's going to be a mid-20s to high 20s sort of player, and his production's been right there. I'm okay with using him, and he's going to be a low-owned guy in tournaments, I would guess. Rick Rubio, 6,900. The production's been nice from an on-court perspective, but from DFS, it hasn't quite been where it needs to be at that salary. The shooting guards, Wes Matthews, 4,300. Getting better, definitely getting better. It's a nice matchup for him. I'm okay with using him here. The last few games have been really solid. He's averaging 25 across his last three. The ceiling's not that high, but in a cash game, I feel a bit more confident in using him. Zach LaVine at 4,900, you're really confident with that. At 4,900, I think that LaVine's going to get 25 points most nights. He's a cash and tournament play. And Andy Wiggins at 6,600, I would rather spend that 1,700 less on LaVine and get relatively similar production. Devin Harris is not worth talking about too much for DFS. Small forwards, Shabazz Muhammad. Not many really bargain-type small forwards on the board. 3,900 for Muhammad. The minutes have been up, averaging 24 across his last five. The production's not great, but 19 points in 24 minutes gives you 5x value. His lowest score in his last five has been 17, so if you're looking for a cheap option, plug him in and you'll get 5x out of him. Chandler Parsons at 6,600. Yeah, I think he's a decent guy to look at. You can get 30 points out of him and feel pretty confident that you're going to get there. Does Tayshaun Prince get a birthday bump? I'm going to guess no. Power forwards, Gorgui Dieng, 6,500. Dieng averaging 35 across his last three, 30 across his last five. At 6,500, I reckon he is a pretty solid guy to look at. And on the Dallas side of things, Dirk is at 7,000. He's been exceeding that recently. The Townsend and Dieng matchup might not be ideal for him, so I'd be a little bit hesitant using him. And David Lee at 4,300. Yes, he had a big game in the last one, but I can't see them being able to run him out there against Dieng and against Towns and have it knocked turn to shit. So he's not a guy that I'll be targeting. At center, Carl Anthony Towns, I love it here. He's at 8,900. He's averaging 45 across his last three. He dropped 59 today. A Mavericks defense led by Zaza Pachulia shouldn't be too much of a problem for him. Pachulia at 5,300. I'm definitely not looking at him. Miami versus the Knicks. There is no spread release for this one. I guess we're waiting to see if Joe Johnson happens to play. You would say that most likely he will, but doesn't mean we're rostering him for DFS. Goran Dragic at 6,300. Beautiful ease here against the Knicks. Fantastic. He's already been exceeding value most nights anyway, averaging 37 across his last five. Feel free to use him. Jose Calderon at 4,200. Not against the Heat defense, and we'll say the same thing for Jerry and Grant as well. At the shooting guards, let's double that up for Langston Galloway. We're not using him. Dwayne Wade at 7,500, averaging 33 across his last three. Love the matchup here, but it's a back-to-back for Wade. I'm not going to be using him. Aaron Aflalo, tournaments, and that's it. Gerald Green, Josh Richardson, they're both going to cop a significant hit with Johnson arriving. And Joe Johnson doesn't even have a salary listed at the moment, so I don't think we need to worry about rostering him on FanDuel. The small forwards, Luol Deng, 6,000 now, but continually basically getting that value most nights, averaging 39 across his last five. I feel pretty confident using him against the Knicks. He should be able to put up numbers. Justice Winslow off him in this one if Johnson plays, because we don't know how that's going to play out exactly. And 9,000 for Mallow. I'd rather spend my 9,000 on, say, Paul George or Kyle Lowry or one of those, rather than use Mallow in this matchup against Miami. The power forwards, it all begins and ends with... He's at 6,400. He's averaging 27 across the last five, 29 across the last three, dropped 36 in the last game, which is great. But at 6,400 against the Heat, I'd probably look in a different direction. And it's not the direction of Amari Stoudemire. At center, Hassan Whiteside, 8,200. I feel like you can't even ignore. At 8,200, that's not too expensive. He's averaging 47 points in his last three, 44 in his last five. Feel free to deploying him. He's always got the there's always the option or the ability for him to go off the rails and stuff you up completely, but I think he's worth looking at. 5,800 for Robin Lopez is also in play, averaging 28 across his last three, which is significant value at 5,800. Let's have a look at the DFS picks of the day. Point guard, Ray Felton, 4,900. Goran Dragic, 63, and Johnny Wall, 98. Shooting guard, Zach LaVine, 49. Evan Fournier, 54, and CJ McCollum, 75. Small forward, Shabazz Muhammad, 39. Bob Cove, 5,000, and LeBron James, 9,800. At the power forward position, Ed Davis, 41. Aaron Gordon, 63, and Paul Millsap, 79. And the centers, Jan Mahinmi, 5,000. Mason Plumlee, 5,300, and Karl-Anthony Towns, 8,900. we are done, guys. Go back and rewatch Steph Curry, at least the last quarter and overtime, and see exactly how ridiculous this guy is. But before you do that, follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble and BasketballMonster at BaskMonster. And all your up-to-date news over on Basketball Monster. Check out the website as well. Articles, content, tools, forums, lots of stuff happening over on that website. And hardwoodparoxysm.com for non-fantasy related stuff, all your NBA content over there as well. We are done today, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.